You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Grey's Anatomy After Show.
Nobody knows what they like.
Oh, here we go.
I'm trying to give like a house beat. The house remix. Hey, AfterBuzzers, Bing is for doing, and welcome to another Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We are back from a little hiatus. So good to be here, and welcome back, everyone, to the studio. Kelly,
Hooray! Yay!
I know we miss you, Kelly. I feel like I haven't seen you in ages.
I know. It's been so long.
She's like, I know.
She's back.
I've missed you guys, too. Yes, we had the hiatus, and then I had to miss, and now Julie's not here. I feel like we're incomplete.
You know, God, what kind of professionals are you?
Yeah.
I depend and rely on you guys for my sanity weekly.
You were not there when I left.
You're right. I wasn't. So here we are. Grey's Anatomy. Tonight was,
It was just okay.
Oh, by the way, hey, everyone, I'm Jason J. Carter. Hi.
And I'm Star Double R. Hello.
And that's Kelly O.
Woo!
And engineer in the house tonight is Mr. Martin.
Hi, everyone.
Hair, Martin. Great hair.
Looking good. Jason.
Yeah, you were off the hook tonight. Tonight's episode was called Idle Hands. Yeah. That was the name of a movie, too, back in 90-something. I remember seeing the Idle Hands. It was like a horror flick.
With Devon Sawa, right?
What are you? This is a Wikipedia of all kinds of wonderful
like
things.
Like movie buff. Yeah, I've got like crazy random movie trivia.
Good for you. So tonight's Grey's episode was... last week, again, I stand by my conviction that they always dupe us with these promotion with the promotion for next week. Next week on Grey's, we find out the sex of Meredith's baby. Like, she's like, you know, falling out. And then none of that really happens in the show. It's just like, of course we watch because we have to, but I'm drawn in with the previews. However, I think they need to stop with the duping and just keep it real. And be like, next week on Grey's, it's going to be boring.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can tell with the next week we're going to figure out the sex. How exciting is that anyways?
Well, and then like, it's like the last 4 seconds of this show.
Yeah. They were stretching a little bit just to get the show going.
Reaching,
exactly.
There were some cute patient stories, and the teacher with the students, and the little cancer kid, because you know everybody always has cancer.
Kelly's always got to stick up for the patients.
Well, last week was a filler episode, I felt. It wasn't that great. This week was a filler episode. Yeah. It wasn't that great. Next week looks
something's
good.
Coming. Like Julia said last week, something's coming. Right, Kel. Everyone needed, again, cancer is, you know, the way to go.
Well, I think they have to set it up because there's the big change. So the last week's episode, they've got to figure out if they're going to accept Avery into the group or how is this hospital going to work and all of that. So it was a very kind of corporate style episode.
Right.
It was a different kind of drama.
They don't waste no time with that rebranding, though.
I know. When this episode started, I was like, wait, what happened? I like just watched last week's episode and I don't remember it being, how far ahead did we jump?
You know, months, but I think it's the dumbest name ever. Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital. Why couldn't they name it like Lexamark or something that has like power, you know? I don't know. Great. Welcome to Grey Sloan Memorial Hospital.
Yeah, they rebranded everyone. Everyone has new suits on, new jackets.
Grey Sloan underwear.
Yeah, then the big unveiling of what's behind that sheet. And it was very unexciting when it comes down to the big unveiling of the name. It just
right.
Wasn't
Avery
that great.
Was like, no, they just left it out there from painting. Here, there you go. Boom.
Move on.
The end.
So the best part about it, Deb, were the coffee sleeves.
Well, coffee sleeves are imperative, especially when you have a hot warm beverage.
Especially when you're in a hospital and you're working long hours.
It's important to have the coffee sleeve so your hands don't burn. Those are very important hands.
Yes,
don't
I mean, those are $15 million hands.
They are.
You know, you can't have them going awry. So let's get into the show.
Yeah.
We start with these in medicine nowadays. The wave of the future is robots doing surgery. I mean, the medical profession's one profession that's always going to be around because you can't. I mean, you need people to work on people and to cure sickness, etc. But they're finding more efficient and cutting edge ways to save people. And tonight they intro the Low-Doc machine. And a couple of seasons ago, they had the Da Vinci, which Bailey dubbed him Leo after Leonardo da Vinci. My mom actually works in surgery, and they use Da Vinci's as well, and they're amazing, amazing machines and surgical equipment. Tonight, they got a Low-Doc, which can scan the whole body in, what?
13 seconds.
And why were they were counting, and it was like, oh, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Well, the whole episode, they couldn't figure out, like, who's going to get in the machine and test it out first. You know, no one really got to go into the machine until towards halfway to the end. And they were like, we bought this money. And Avery was a little upset about it. You know, like, we spent a ton of money just to watch it. And we have to see it. But when they finally did it, the countdown was really dramatic.
Yeah, it was like New Year's Eve all over again.
Yeah.
Well, anyone that's ever had an x-ray before, you have to have something x-rayed. It takes about 17 times to get... I broke my ankle. It took literally, they had to x-ray my foot 500 different ways before they figured out what was wrong.
Right.
So this would be awesome.
Or
one
MRI.
Time, lay down, done.
Yeah, and then they're like, don't move. You moved. And I'm like, wait, I didn't move.
Start all over. And then with the beeping.
Right. And then true story. So
why are we all in the hospital so much?
I know.
Yeah, I'm like, we all had this experience.
When I had my back surgery, they put me into the MRI machine and it felt like I was being put into a coffin because you go into this and I panicked. I was like, get me out of here. Can you, 6'2", 33-year-old buff male having a meltdown in the MRI machine. They laughed at me and I was like, I'm very sensitive right now. Do not
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that,
that
one.
Awesome to be there for moral support.
For moral support, yeah.
Not at all. I
hold my
laughing.
Hand. But you know, and not to just call out some of the Grey's writers, really, this is what you guys based the whole show around is a machine.
Well, that's where they're putting their money, you know? It's kind of a little ironic, you know? Mm-hmm. They have all this money. They started this new hospital. They're spending all this money on branding and a new machine. So it's just kind of like, where did the money really go, you know?
Right.
But I guess the machine is going to work out in the end, so.
Yeah.
Well, it shows from a marketing perspective, too, because the whole thing with the Pegasus coming in and what they were all about, right? Was that what that was, right?
No, yeah.
Okay, I was like, did I get that wrong?
No,
the way that it all was, this is showing the different side that now that these guys are all on the board and they have to think about these things, and I think it's things that people don't think about all the time. You have to spend money on branding and all of those things in order to attract people to your place so you can continue to make money.
Right.
And it's boring and it's, you know, it's not what we're used to seeing. And I wonder why they feel the need to show all of that. Like, I'm wondering, like, where it's going to lead to. I'm hoping there has to be a reason for that because, yeah, we get it. When you're, you know, starting a new business and redoing all that, yeah, we need to know all of that. But what's the end? I want to see some...
Well, the end result, in my opinion, is that they are having this new hospital, but they're redoing it. They have the... When they check in the patients, they have this new technology with their iPads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just showing that they're moving forward and it's not going to be this horrible, progressive way of, like, they're a forward-thinking hospital and it's run by doctors.
Mm-hmm. The thing that's really just not sitting well with me about the last couple episodes, though, is that Grey's normally has been such a dramatic, a deep, dramatic... Just so many emotions are running through this show that I think are being thrown out the window now. It's very technical now. It's
no,
very,
I wanted to cry. I haven't cried in a long time.
Yeah, it's not giving me anything to sink my teeth into. It's like, oh, great.
You didn't want to cry when the teacher found out she was dying and all the students came in. Come on.
Because I've seen that scenario before where, oh, it's she needs a Whipple. Seriously, like, really, it's the same.
This is different. This is a woman that was in the hospital alone. She didn't have any family, anybody there with her. I mean, so we don't know. Maybe she seriously was just alone, and her family was these were the kids.
No, and I got
and
that.
And having to leave that, and they were really upset. They came to visit her. They made her posters. I mean, come on. That
okay,
was
well,
little...
let's talk about it. The patience. Kelly, I'm right there with you. I'm not a heartless bastard. I promise. After Buzz, I do have a heart.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's attached to a Starbucks card. You can drop off at my place. Oh. Just kidding. No, but I do. I did. That was the way Annette O'Toole. She was the guest star. We know her from being Clark Kent's mom on Smallville.
Mm-hmm.
Woo!
Yeah, she thought she had gallstones, but lo and behold, they laparoscopically go in, minimally invasive, go in and you know, try to take out the gallstones. They found that she has a mass, another term that's using Grays all the time. It's a mass. It's a hematoma. It's a mumminoma.
At least you're learning, and they're like instilling, making sure you know. No, what's
I can
going
save.
On.
I can do surgery.
Really?
I can do a Whipple.
Wow.
I can resect a tumor. From watching Grays over the years, I'm dope. I should have my PhD. They call me. I don't know. I'm mixed something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that patient story was really sad tonight with the kids, and she says, you know, this sucks. She was great. And then we also had the little girl who was riding her bike, and she had a major head injury. What did I miss with that one, ladies? The dad's irate.
Basically, they were on a bike ride. She gets off the bike, and she was wearing a helmet. And when she got off the bike, took off her helmet so she could take a picture or something. I don't know. You can tweet us right now and let us know what she was really doing. And then she got hit by another biker, I believe.
On a bike path. From the way she looked, I thought she got hit by a bus.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, it could have been a car. I might have missed that, but it could have been a car or a bike. It was she got hit by something, and the dad was freaking out because he was with her. They've been riding since she was a kid, and she always had a helmet on, and I think he just felt responsible and was just overprotective.
Yeah.
Didn't know how to handle his fear, so he got angry instead.
Yeah, and he was a little intense. I was like, what is going on? Like, yeah. Pull it together.
Yeah.
Right. Poor Ross. I mean, that intern, I think Ross is one of the most likable interns on the show this season. He's more likable than some of the girls.
Agreed.
And he's just trying to do right by everyone. And he's a little bit too by the book for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a little, not boring, but I don't know, something about him. I mean, I like him, but something about him is just not... He's just not fun.
You nailed it. Yeah, he's like by the book. He's not fun, and he goes by procedure, and he wants to learn, and he wants to do it right.
He's like the Black Yang.
Yes.
Do you feel
he's
like
a Blang?
Well, do you feel like they're attempting to kind of do what they did with the original interns when they first started, and all the process of them learning how to talk to patients and how to do all of these
things? Of course.
Are you saying are they using the script from years ago?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, no, but I mean, it's not as interesting maybe to us because we already saw it happen.
Yeah.
And it's not as dramatic as it was the first time around. So you think it's kind of like split in half?
I think so.
Because the focus is now on these two sets
entities
almost,
right.
at the same time before when it really wasn't.
Right. Kelly, you have a really, really good point. The thing is that when Grace first started, it was the interns and Bailey and the chief.
Right.
Yeah.
And Addison. And then now it's the veterans, the attendings, these interns, Owen, the chief. It's
the
board, like
the whole hospital itself is a character and everything going on with
koozies,
it.
The koozies, you know, everything. It's just so much going on. I think for the interns, for this show to really elevate, if I was writing the show, I would make something bad happen to the interns too. I would give them more life. They're it's like they're the aftertaste. We have April and the veterans who are like the Diet Coke, and then you have that really weird aftertaste after you sip, but that's the interns. I would love for the interns to also have more of a more juicy storyline. You know, the show is doing an excellent job interweaving them in between the veterans, but I would love for them to have their own something.
It's true. I mean, but
it's spectacular.
Right, but I think the interns do have their own storyline, and they have kind of more of the interesting storyline anyways than the board and the rest of the hospital. I think their storylines are kind of what makes us come back. Like, I want to know what's going on with them, but I don't think there's anything big that has happened that has made it,
right,
like, boom. Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been.
And it's so funny because I feel the opposite. I can't even remember what they're doing, and I'm so disinterested. I don't know why. And I don't know if it's because I'm just loyal to the original ones. That's where kind of my attention goes.
Brand loyalty.
And I just don't feel like. I think they do have some interesting stories, but for me, it hasn't developed enough. I feel like I want a little bit more to it. I mean, how did what's her name get the marble? What is the deal with the marble?
Right.
Let me see the marble. Like at least something like that. Like there's nothing.
Nothing.
Aside from the wedding episode where there were kind of had some like drama in there, I don't really care.
It's almost like when in doubt, add an intern in there, you know? Or their storylines are just very, I feel like when the interns are trying to be, you know, intense and trying, you know, they have the music and it's like, you know, before they go to commercial, you know, they always have these dramatic pauses like and then commercial. You know, or it's just so
Where
dumb.
Where is Stephanie?
Stephanie, actually, she's getting more romantic hair this week, so they're pressing and curling it so she can come back, because apparently they got
episode.
Our memo. Shonda got the memo about making the interns look hot, because they're getting better and better looking.
Mine is the lesbian haircut. I'm not really into that haircut. It's killing me.
It's a pixie. We can't call it lesbian.
Sorry. I don't want to offend everyone out there. I love lesbians. I'm just saying the haircut is like too bad.
She's like, minus the Ellen DeGeneres haircut?
Yeah, it's just like, no.
Yeah, but she... You know, she had long hair. Then boom, next week she's bald.
She said, "Long hair, I don't care." Snip.
Yeah, she probably pissed off. Shonda's like, "I got something for you."
Yeah, I want to know if she's like booked another movie or a show. Like, what was the point? You know, like there had to be something.
Well, they're trying to give him identity. Oh. Maybe that's her
thing. I don't know. She always has something quirky to say, something that doesn't really fit.
Or a quirky look on her face,
and it's just, where does that go? What's going on with that?
I really love seeing Meredith in this episode. One of the reasons why I really adore Meredith Grey as a character on Grey's is because throughout the years she's been through it, and Meredith, just her whole storyline is so beautiful, and everything that's happened to her, and the way she, her comedy and her comedic timing, and
what?
I think Meredith is very funny.
I agree, but so last funny. Week you were not saying, you were saying her storyline is a hot mess.
Over
right now.
No, I'm talking about throughout the course of Grey's.
Oh, okay.
not this season.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. This episode, I really liked Meredith in this episode because
just clearing it up for our viewers.
She was funny. She was funny. She got back to being the old school Meredith a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, with all her one liners and just, you know, her and Christina's.
Great cloud over her head.
Yeah,
I think my favorite line, how's the baby? Oh, not moving now, probably dead. That was really my favorite.
Because everything has happened to this girl. She stuck her hand in a cavity with a bomb. Her mom died. Her mom hated her. Her dad's an alcoholic. Her sister died. She almost died twice. You know, so she's like, you know what?
Yeah,
laugh it off.
Didn't she get blamed for killing her dad's wife in the hospital?
Right. And she got slapped by her dad at the hospital before he threw blood on her. I mean, just, you know, poor thing.
Yeah, but it's about her. So she has to have the most. She has to have the most crazy things happen to her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing that I don't think is really cool about Meredith is her fashion. I feel like that
she's
all,
always in scrubs.
No,
tonight she was in that button down with the belly bump.
She's
the baby.
Always,
oh, that's right.
Collared shirt, V-neck sweater, or cardigan.
Yeah,
I've never seen
she's
Meredith.
Giving you
oh,
mom.
Meredith did look good in some of the weddings, but I've never seen her like sexy. Yang has been sexy. Yang has shown some sides for that.
You are into Yang tonight.
Yes,
you were like,
Yang.
He's always into Yang.
You have little Blasian babies. You know, Yang is amazing.
Yeah,
let me some. Sandra, so Bailey, guys, is it me or is Bailey forever asking for money?
Why is she annoyed? She annoyed me so much.
She was very annoying this episode. I
Every
don't know what's going on with her.
Binders and chasing people down with binders.
She's always asking for something. The last four seasons,
I like
she's
her
been
better
asking,
mean
and not caring.
Yeah,
you know, and she's another person that got her hair right finally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they prettied her up, but always asking for money. Every season, it's either for stem cell research, a clinical trial,
funding
for something. You know, she wants to save the whales. It's and she always goes about it the same way. Hey, okay, here's my proposal. You know, I'm asking you guys for money because I'm Bailey, and you're gonna help me.
Yeah,
well, because you're the boss, and I have to. I don't even like it. I don't even like you. This is what I've got to do.
Bailey has never ever. She's always next in line to be the authority, and she always gets like discontinued, like, no thank you, psych.
You gotta give it up to Dr. Russell, though. He was pretty slick about the way he did it,
right? Asking Christina for money. And I thought, I mean,
I was following the story. I was like, oh, she gets to get on this really great surgery.
Yeah.
She's doing all this great stuff.
Okay, so fill him in. So how you think it all came about?
So
Yang goes looking for him. She wants to work. She's bored. She's tired of the bored stuff. So she goes looking for Dr. Russell. He starts, while Bailey's trying to pitch her this for funding, and then he starts talking to her about his clinical trial and what was it, his Lotus something that right. he was doing, and invites her to come in, and she doesn't get that he's actually pitching her. She thinks that he actually wants her on his service to do this trial. She goes in, she takes part in it, he lets her do it, and then he asks her for $12 million.
For funding, because they're board members now. They can make decisions in regards to yeah. where the money goes.
Yeah.
Which was weird to see, because I thought he was asking her for her own, like, can you cut me a check for $12 million, you got it.
Yeah, I forgot that they're like on the board yeah. and they make yes. decisions.
Right. And so Yang was like, she handled it very well. She could have been really upset about it, mm-hmm. but she thought, you know what? I am in charge and I can make decisions. And so she tells him, no, you're not gonna get the money.
Right. No. She's like, you know what, I'm gonna take it away from you, and I'm gonna take away your money, so you have to put me on your service.
Right.
I'm in charge and the board feels you can handle it.
There you go, Yang.
Bam. I love it.
What? don't mess with Yang, dude. She'll go ninja on your ass real quick.
Yeah.
So moving on, we come to a very drunk. Touching and very personal moment with Callie and Arizona that really just hit a chord with me, because one, I'm so sick of seeing Arizona just mope around. Okay, sweetiekins, love bug, you lost a leg. I know. You lost a leg, Arizona. And I think it's really great how CGI, they can make her like not have a leg, yeah. you know, and make it look real. It's so cool. It's like, you better work.
Yeah, I want to see the secrets behind. I want to see like a behind the scenes. Secrets.
Oprah's next chapter. Behind yeah. the scenes. But Callie, you know, they haven't had sex, I guess. They're not. That's always a recurring theme with them.
It's
no
getting
sex.
Kind of old. Yeah. That storyline needs to progress a little bit.
Have some sex.
It did progress a little bit tonight. And the thing about it is, it's not really about the leg, about right. her losing the leg. It's about not feeling attractive.
Sexy. Well, they gave her
that's
some.
That's the problem. She doesn't want Callie to see it. She doesn't want to show. It's like, if you don't feel good about yourself, you don't want to be naked in
oh,
front of
I
somebody.
Agree.
You don't want somebody looking at you, touching you. And the
totally.
Hard part about
I
it
feel
is
that.
She's in pain, and she needs somebody to do that. And her, you know, her wife happens to be the right person to ask, and she can't bring herself to show
sure.
her ugliness to the way she feels about it.
So
she's just uncomfortable. So
right.
she tries to hide it, throw on a high heel to try to help make herself feel sexy, and she's hurting herself.
Yeah. She throws on those mm-hmm. pumps and
the Louboutins.
Callie's like, look at her. Look at her badunkadunk. Doesn't it look good? How
yeah.
awkward.
Awkward.
Like, who goes into work and like, look at my wife's badunkadunk?
All night, I was thinking like
really?
It didn't even sound right. Like, what?
Like, well, heels, it's true. When ladies wear heels, it gives your bum a little
lift.
Bit of a lift.
Right.
So,
I mean, when I wear heels.
Wasn't she into
right.
it? Didn't she turn around and shake
yeah,
her butt and everything?
She twirled, girl.
Because she felt sexy.
Yeah,
she was Gone with the Wind
sexy.
Fabulous.
And you gotta give it up. She was walking in heels with, you know, without any issues with your feet or legs hurts anyway.
Yeah.
So that has to be horrible.
I know that all too well.
Oh, okay.
My stilettos, bam. But right.
But
no,
after a while,
haven't
like
you seen Sarah Jessica Parker's feet lately, like running around, it's horrible.
like
they
her
mess
face.
Up your feet.
Yeah, they do.
Sarah Jessica Parker's face and her feet.
Stop it.
Thing.
But that, you know.
Aww.
That's the thing, is I don't think she's so much dealing with the whole I lost my leg, I'm sad for me, all that.
Right.
It's more so I want to feel good enough
and
to
I got
be
that.
In
love with
you.
But what I was saying in my lower tone of voice was that when Callie finally was able to get through to her, we'll touch on that. But back to the hills and, you know, my wife's bunk badonkadonk and stuff like that. First of all, okay, I have issues with the hills. Get her some red bottoms, some Louboutins. At least get her some expensive hills.
Okay.
There you go. Secondly,
she's not a millionaire anymore. She gave all her money away.
They can afford some Louboutins. Secondly, yeah, it was kind of awkward. Callie, I don't know if Callie, she's like, yeah, look at my woman's badonkadonk.
She's the man.
Yeah,
she
dude.
Wears the pants.
Yeah, like,
that
you
moment
know, you
happened.
You know what was awkward when the chief was like, that's a real nice gluteus. No, no.
He went all doctor on her about her butt.
Yeah,
no.
Weird. Buttocks. Just weird. But it's comedy. Great. That's great writing. And see, the way we're talking about it now, obviously it's effective, because if
yeah.
it wasn't anything, we'd be like, okay, it would have been a mess. But yeah, it was just a little bit too much for me. And Kelly, I agree 100% with you as far as what you're saying about it's not about the leg. I understand, because I had an In-N-Out burger the other night, and I didn't feel sexy either.
Yeah,
after
that. If you would have put on some heels and went to In-N-Out Burger, maybe you would have felt a little bit better.
Well, could you imagine me at In-N-Out Burger with some heels on? I get a double-double animal style.
Why could I could imagine that.
Some slingbacks. But you're saying that she didn't feel sexy in that, and I agree.
I'm
that
I'm not saying anything anymore.
It's hard to, when you don't feel sexy, it's hard to be intimate with someone, especially mm-hmm. that closely with someone.
And I think she's using the pain and all of that stuff, so she doesn't, and I think that's what Callie was feeling, is yeah. that you say yes, and then you think about it, and then you renege on it, and then right. so you take back, and all of a sudden you have all these excuses on sure. why you can't do it.
Well, I mean, when they kicked Bailey out because they were having sexy time talk, mm-hmm. they should have closed the door, locked it,
and
the sexy time should have been right then and there, not later that night. Like,
I wonder, you know, a lot of sex goes on in the new Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital. I wonder if that really happens in real hospitals, though. Like, do they have mm-hmm. an on-call? And then,
you would think if they worked that much, where else could it happen?
Yeah,
they can't go out and meet different people. They got to sleep with the people they work with.
Gotcha. Weird.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Weird.
But they should have, right? They should have closed the door and did it right then.
Yeah.
That was just my... Everyone else has sex in that hospital. Why not?
Well, I like that she finally kind of broke through that a little bit and allowed Callie to be there for her in the way that she's been wanting to and felt like she couldn't be.
Because that's her woman.
And, you know, right now I'm the doctor, which could be kind of sexy in itself. Sure. Like, it doesn't have, you know, just kind of close your eyes and let it happen.
Well, she said, you know, I'm an orthopedic surgeon. Mm-hmm. Like, I know. And she
tricked
her. I
know what I'm doing.
She mm-hmm. thought she was going to adjust the leg, but nope, she pulls it off and is yeah. like, and she's like, you know.
She's teary-eyed. Don't.
But that's hot, though. I can identify with that, because when you love someone, you see through everything. It doesn't matter. You love them for all their... I always tell my hubby, you know, I take the good with the good, because it's all good. You know, even when it's bad, and you know, the little things that irritate you about someone, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because you love that person regardless. So I'm glad that aww. With Arizona and Cali... No, I honestly feel that way, because mm-hmm. it takes a lot to love somebody unconditionally. You know, people go through relationships, and even on Grey's, we've seen so many different relationships, and people date and stuff like that. And in real life, when you finally find someone that you get, and you wake up one day and you're like, wow, I really love this person. It's such an awesome feeling. And I get that with Callie in Arizona.
Yeah, their relationship is really strong.
It's
you strong. Can definitely
it's
tell.
It's one of the strongest ones
exactly.
on the show.
But it's getting kind of boring, so they need to kind of have the sexy time and
keep it moving.
Move on.
Yeah, so hopefully they had it tonight, and now we're going to get past this part, and it's going to go to the next level.
Next week on Grace.
They had the sex.
Now maybe it'll move from in the house to in the on-call room.
Yeah.
And be hot and heavy.
Thank you.
How are we feeling about Kareb and Joe and the Dr. Wyatt situation?
Well, the new patient, which was a little kid, he also had cancer.
Of course.
Of course mm-hmm. he did. And, when it came down to it, he had a little crush on Joe, which was super cute, and he did not like, what's his name, Mr. Dr. Wyatt in the pink scrubs? I call him pink scrubs. Isn't he always in
Let's
pink
call
scrubs?
Him
yeah, because he's a
gynae doctor.
Yeah.
He's a gynae
yeah.
doctor.
Pink scrubs, yeah. And so the little patient definitely had a crush on Joe, and so Karev saw that too and used it as an opening to prank Dr. Wyatt, pink scrubs, and that was the best part of the episode for me.
That was cute.
It was cute, but Doc Chief Weber, you know...
He's bored. What else is he going to do?
What is it? Surgery?
Not
save a life?
Surgery. No.
It's always a great day to save lives.
He's always in the corner like this. He's always has
That's
his
Derek's
arms
life.
Crossed. He always has his arms crossed in the corner, and he's always like,
He's
he can have a little fun.
He's that employee.
He was the chief for such a long time,
right.
He needs a break.
He's that employee that's worked for the company for forever that thinks they can do whatever they want. At my regular day job, there's this woman who's been with the company for 25 years. I swear this girl is forever on lunch. Every day. She's like, I'm on lunch. It is 9 a.m. She's like...
I've worked here the longest. I'm on lunch.
She's got HR on speed dial.
Yes.
But that's the chief pranking people, and he's so predictable now. I expected more from you, and he's all, you gotta do it this way. Like, really, you're like 60. Grow up, dude.
But his pranks were better because when Karev was pranking, I didn't realize Karev was pranking until a little ways into it. Because when he was showing up, like, did anybody page me? Did anybody? I didn't realize that it was coming from Karev. Mm-hmm. And then once I've figured it out, I was like, that's kind of cute. And then the chief was like, let's step it up a notch. You know, he thought he got caught, but then he realized that the chief was like, let's step it up. And what was the page? Genitalia?
Genitalia.
No, that was the one. That was the one before. That was the one he did before, and he thought it was too low level. So he's like, let's step it up, and that's when he did the drug testing.
Yeah. I love genitalia.
Genitalia was funny.
Call my friend genitalia. at 911, she'll pick up. But this is the second time this season they've done that, you know, where the prank, that's an ongoing thing on Grey's this season, the prank with Pegasus.
Get pumped.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, these names, Pegasus is going to come. Pegasus is such a wonderful mythical creature. And this episode, and this season made it seem like it's like the devil, Pegasus, you know? Unicorn apocalypse.
Well, even Bailey made reference to this, what happens when doctors get bored. So there's not a lot going on over there right now.
No. Meredith is going through it, as we can see on the screen. Her and Christina Yang are always, you know, having banter about life. And the way they talk about things is just so, like, yeah, my arm got cut off today. Oh, well, you know, Owen choked me again. So not a big deal. Talk to the baby. Meredith thinks that her baby is going to have five heads, three legs.
And she's like, talk to it. Talk to it.
How do we feel about pregnant Meredith?
I actually like her because she's so uncomfortable about it. And I think that that's cute because she doesn't ever have anything good that happens and she can't handle it.
Well, she says it. She says bad things always happen. So I just want to be able to expect the worst when it does happen. And so the whole episode about, like, maybe the umbilical cord is wrapped around the neck, it was like a little morbid. Like, your child is inside your belly in the baby bump. It's not looking so good on her. It's like either too low, too high, or just doesn't fit right.
She's not a cute pregnant like Beyonce was.
No. Oh, that was fake. But okay.
But, you know,
just saying.
Boom. The thing about Meredith, another reason why I adore Meredith so much is because I too am like that. I always think the plan for the worst. Never expect the best, always expect the worst, plan for the worst, because, you know, when you're living on your own, or, you know, when you're young trying to do things, you have to stay afloat. I mean, thank God my mom didn't have Alzheimer's, or I wasn't, you know, things that haven't happened to me that have happened to Meredith, but Meredith is very relatable. I think she's one of the most relatable characters on Grey's. I could see myself knowing someone like Meredith. I mean, I would be so honored to know a surgeon, you know, I don't know very many doctors, but Meredith's personality, I think she's very relatable. Mm-hmm. As far as her being pregnant, I think this is the only thing they could do. This is, what else could they do to evolve Meredith?
Aside from killing her.
I mean, right. Like really, what's the next natural progression?
She's kind of been through the loss of parents, siblings, almost her husband. Like, there had to be something good. There had to be.
Yeah. I would have loved to have maybe Derek leave her.
He already did.
No, but, like, for good. Like, it'd be done.
Well, that's the thing. But Derek left her. Christina left her. You know, she's already been left so many times. Like, we can't leave Meredith anymore. She needs a little bit of a happy time, even if it's just for a second.
Just to be a little bit morbid, maybe the baby will come out with some defect. I don't know. Maybe that'll bring the twist. I'm not trying to be morbid, but she needs something in her storyline.
The baby will be black.
Like, the baby will be black, or...
It'll be a switched at birth.
Yeah.
It'll be a Malawi baby.
Yeah. Maybe it'll have, like, jaundice or something. I don't know. Like, it needs, something's gonna has to happen with the baby. I don't. It needs something with the storyline. Is that too morbid?
You guys are like, no. Well, no. The thing is that you say that, but we've come to expect. That's one of the reasons why we're so sucked into the Grey's universe is because we're needing, we're yearning for
something bad to happen,
because that's what keeps us. The reasons why this show has succeeded is because we're always rooting for the hero. There's always a hero on Grey's. Someone dies, someone saves. There's always a happy ending after the end of the world, you know?
Well, and I would like to see it come out perfect, because that's what nobody's expecting. We're expecting it to come out like something wrong. And if it doesn't, I think that would be a bigger twist, because, okay, this is going to be fine. So every time we watch, is the kid going to die today? Is the kid going to die today? What's going to happen?
Right.
I think it would kind of like build to that.
Sure. April, Dr. Kepner, this episode again.
Going to the carnival.
We're back on the whole corruption of, you know, the good Christian boy. And, yeah, I wish she would just own her sexuality and just be like, listen, I love the pogo stick. I want to jump on it all day and call, you know, keep it moving.
Yeah. You didn't like Meredith's analogy? Maybe this is God's plan.
I loved it. Loved it. You didn't like, sorry, you were kind of like offended.
No, God's plan is not for you to just push the guy that's waiting for marriage to have sex. Like, of course that's not God's plan. Of course not.
Wow, you feel really strongly about that.
No, and the analogy of the carnival, I did not like that. I don't know what it should have been, but the carnival, I don't know.
You think it's a carnival ride?
Carnival ride, maybe, like...
The tilt-a-whirl, is that what she used? And the
really, Kelly?
That's what she said!
Uh-huh.
She said it on the show!
The yo-yo?
Yeah, but once you It's like having a tattoo. Let's do it this way. If you have one, you always want more, okay? So mm-hmm. she already had some of the good pogo stick, and there now she definitely wants more.
I know, it might be a little bit more fun to ride a carnival ride than get a tattoo.
She wants a whole Toys R Us full of pogo sticks, you know?
Yes,
but it's so funny. Like, she gets so heated about it when she talks about it.
I could tell she... I don't know if she wanted him back, Avery back,
she
or
does.
What, but...
When people are passionate about something, it's because there's truth in it. There's truth mm-hmm. in their convictions, and they feel strongly. If you feel strongly about something, that means that you care and you want to see some kind of result. If when you're indifferent, you're indifferent. Obviously, April needs to get laid.
She needs to get
laid. She's very attracted to him, and now she knows what it's like to go that extra, you know, to go that far.
She bit the apple.
Yeah, now she's looking at him like he's this beautiful thing, and that's what she kind of says. Why would God make this beautiful thing, and then you can't have it, and all of that? And she's, you know, she's struggling with that. And now she can kind of, I think it's interesting because now she can see it from Avery's point of view.
Right.
When she was the one holding out and all of that, and kind of what his struggle might have
been. That's totally true. Yeah.
But maybe now she can relate a little bit more to him and understand what was going on there because now she's experiencing herself.
Yeah, April. And her hair looked great this week, too.
Oh, no, it did.
It was very romantic.
Romantic hair. So going back to the patient.
Which one?
The one that has the terminal gallbladder cancer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It sucked.
Yeah, it sucked. And
don't say it sucked.
No, it didn't really. No, the storyline didn't suck. Her having cancer sucked. It's almost like Gray's like, hey, pick your cancer. Which one do you want this week? Hodgkin's lymphoma, you know, go with it. But she, you know, Meredith, I always try to identify and try to put myself in the place of the doctors because these people are delivering basically a death sentence saying you're terminal. And the way they go about it, the way Meredith was just, they're just so put together, and it just blows my mind how they don't show any emotion themselves. Do you think that's because they're so used to handing death sentences on to patients, or
they're so used to handing out death sentences?
Yeah. But you remember, I mean, in the very beginning, it wasn't always like that. It was a struggle, and they had to learn how to separate. And I remember they spent a little bit of time on it in the early seasons to have to separate yourself from the patient, you know, from a personal relationship with the patient, and it goes back to the whole Denny and that whole situation.
Could you, Kelly? Could you separate if you were a doctor?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
I don't. That's why I couldn't be a doctor.
No. I cried last week. Okay, like
I cried in this. I teared up when the teacher was telling the kids she wasn't coming back. I mean, I could never.
Yeah,
like, I could never.
Mm-mm.
I think I could. I think I'm cold.
You kind of are. I could see you be a doctor and be like, you're going to die.
I'm really sorry.
No biggie, though.
No.
Today's
no
biggie. Not your day.
It's a wrap on you, dog. You got like, you're going to expire in about 6 months. I suggest, I don't know, go do something real, real cool, real quick. Here, let me write you a prescription for something real strong. Yeah, when the kids came in and we're talking to teacher and stuff, I had a teacher who died in fourth grade. My fourth grade teacher died in a car accident. And when you're that young, the adults in your life are so important, are so crucial to your existence. It's not, you don't really, like, I was such a sensitive little kid. I would cry all the time because I had, like, you know, I sat at the mean girls table, which we call it, where all the friends were, like, you know, really hateful. And I was the nerd. So I wanted to belong so bad that I just put up with all the drama. So one day they kicked me off the table.
Ooh, yeah, you got booted.
I got booted. Like, no, like, all five of them were like, you gots to go.
Is that why you're so cold now?
Yeah, probably. And I had acne at 9, so, I mean, yeah. God, what a horrible childhood.
But well, look how gorgeous you are now.
I know.
Now.
See, God, you know, it's an ugly duckling syndrome. But the thing is, this teacher was so comforting and was so like, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. It was so that's safety you needed. And so when she died, it was like... And you don't grasp death that young.
Oh, no.
All you grasp is that your friend's not coming back.
Yeah.
And you grasp the feelings you had for me, that safety I had with that teacher. So watching those kids tonight talk to their teacher took me back to that whole thing. And it was very sad for me in the sense that they're losing someone they love. You love your teachers. You couldn't wait.
Yeah, especially I had a teacher that I absolutely loved in my, you know, like where my mom was friends with her, and it was a whole thing, and I knew her for years, and it's, you know, you form a bond with certain people, and it was a touching thing for me to watch, and you know.
I mean, I think everyone has had death that they had to deal with. Of course, I also had a teacher that passed away. He was my French teacher, Mr. Abercrombie. We miss you. His name was awesome, and he was a great teacher, and he let me skip class all the time to go to Burger King, and he never told my mom. But anyways, with that being said, like, you do have compassion, and as a kid, you do know young that you care about someone, and you have to learn at a young age that death is a part of life, and mm-hmm. that's just how it is. And, you know, that storyline was really cute, how she was like, don't say it sucked, you know, and then she realized, like, this sucks. I have cancer, mm-hmm. you know, and I might not be coming back, Nick, to finish out the year, so how can we, you know, make this year better for you? And they were like, maybe we can give the new substitute a breath mint. Like, I love that part.
It's
like,
so cute, because they're such kids. Like, yeah. They don't even really understand the depth right. of what's happening, and yeah. it's to keep it light, and she tries to do that, and I thought that was kind of cute. And yeah. It's a little different than your average somebody's, like, bleeding on the table, and it's a whole thing, you know? Well, it was a little bit different.
The girl who got hit by another biker that had the mm-hmm. she survived. Yeah, they don't know to what capacity she'll be able to regain her lifestyle back, mm-hmm. or the way she was before, but she's going to be okay. The dad was going to go through it, but Derek swooped in and said, look, dude, calm down, fall back.
He was, like, shaking him, put his yeah. hand up against the wall, yeah. and, like, yeah. backed him in a
and
corner.
And his hair stayed in place.
And then, of course it did.
And then he hugged him, and you could tell that in
Was there an embrace?
There yeah. was. And Derek kind of, did he tear up too?
I think he did a little bit. And I think that's going because he's about to be a dad. And
he is a dad.
To have, you know, those emotions.
Yeah. Yeah.
To see what this guy's going through. I mean, I can't imagine. I know how I get with my dog. I can't imagine how it would be if I, like, had a child.
What kind of dog do you have, Cal?
I have a cute little rescue. I think she's a poodle mix with a terrier or something.
Sweet. What's her name?
We don't know yet. Her name is Tamale.
Tamale? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute. I have
a rescued
snake.
Her from Tijuana.
I have a snake.
I have a snake.
Do you?
Name Lucky.
Oh.
I rescued a cat last night.
I know you did.
Did you?
I did.
We have issues, yo.
Yeah. I don't know how we just got on that.
I know. Sorry. Know.
Hey, you guys, go to iTunes. Rate us, leave us comments, and tell all your friends about the Grey's Anatomy After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We love hearing what you guys have to say, even if it's bad or good. We'll reach back out. Let us know what you like. Let us know if there's any information that we're not hitting on here, stuff that we don't know about Grey's that you may have the insight on. We love to hear that stuff too. Leave us some comments as well as rate us. Give us 5 stars. Keep the lights on here, and we'll definitely give you some shout outs. We have a lot of cool followers on YouTube, a lot of cool followers on
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Whereas GT is like every morning.
She's like, who's going to be the godmother
right.
or the godparents of Zoila? Remember that happened this morning?
Totally. Mm-hmm. And I wake up afterwards. I wake up to tweets. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and Star is already tweeting with people. I'm like, what world is this? But no, you know, people wanted to know who was Zoila's godmother. And I think it was Yang. Corinne Mahaney at CMCSED9 on Twitter. Hey, we love you. Thanks for watching. She was wondering, who the hell is Zola's godparents? And it was Yang.
Yes.
It was Yang. Mm-hmm. Right. I watched the episode. Yang was the chosen one. And she said, well, if you guys die, I'll be a great godparent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there you go. So please rate us. Thank you.
Thank you.
iTunes. There you go.
Bam.
So the end of the episode of, you know, really, it was an uneventful episode.
Yeah, it was. We found out it was a boy.
It was a boy.
Bam.
Mary's having a boy because she thought it was 6 fingers.
She counted the fingers and toes.
Yeah.
And a pee-pee.
And it was a penis. They needed to have a boy. If they had a girl, it would have been weird.
No, well, they have a girl, so they have to have a boy. They need to balance it out. And I think we predicted that they were going to have a boy
last
week.
And I also know the name of what the boy is going to be.
Mark.
Right. Mark Derek Shepherd Jr.
How do you know that?
I don't know.
Okay. They didn't reveal that.
No, we're totally making it up. But
it's going to be Mark. George, Thatcher, Mark, every point that's
it
done.
It could be, oh yes. Yeah.
Teddy. Izzy.
Teddy's on NCIS now. Good for her.
See, she didn't miss a beat. Loretta Devine, client list.
Oh, I know.
They get them checks.
Yeah, and Avery.
Let me say, Loretta Devine looks great. I saw her, like, the other night at the Arclight. She looks good.
She's good. She's black don't crack.
That's right. And then Avery's doing really well with the hospital, but that's kind of boring. I want him to mess up, right?
Well, something, back to the filler episodes. I think these are all in prep. Every I can't say every season's had filler episodes because, you know, the first 6 seasons had very few filler episodes, and they were chock full of so many good storylines and a lot
of cool
stuff.
New every week.
You know, well, they're no longer doing the crossover events because Private Practice has ended its run. Mm-hmm. So
I don't know if I love those.
I didn't really like those either. But no. I think it just because there's so many more new characters and storylines to go than we had before, and I think that's what's kind of making it a need, maybe, for these little filler episodes, so we have just so much to pay attention to.
Right, and the season finale's coming up in a couple of weeks, well, mm-hmm. about a month and a half, you know, so they have to...
We gotta start reeling it in. Yeah. Yes, because we gotta start getting towards that finale.
Right, because mm-hmm. if it's more of this, then I don't know if I'm gonna be excited for it, because every finale has been the talk on Entertainment Weekly the next day. Mm-hmm. Grey's finale. I know. Every single year has been...
We cannot have another big disaster, though.
It has to be kind of over. They're used to it.
I love the shooting.
That was the one I couldn't sleep that night, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was like...
So good.
I'm a nurse. Mean,
online the next day, it was the most talked about thing.
No, that was crazy.
That's beautiful writing.
But I just...
I know, Kelly. Change is good. Change is good. I think...
I mean, it will absolutely have to be something crazy, of course.
They're going to lose the hospital. Well, dun, dun, dun.
But, you know, the end of season 7, it wasn't crazy. Meredith was just alone in her hospital with Zola.
Yeah.
So,
but that was still...
It was boring.
It was just different, because we've been conditioned to want... The sensational, the salacious. Yeah. We're conditioned to want the utmost, you know, horrifying, grotesque.
So feed me what I'm conditioned to.
But I think that in order to give this show depth and to make it that much more credible, they have to veer from that. It's just like True Blood. We watch True Blood every season, same thing over and over again. Sucky. Bill. Sucky. But Bill, I'm a fairy, Bill. Eric Northman, what? Pam, you're a bitch. What? You know?
Oh, it's coming back. I can't wait.
It's the same thing every. It's the same thing every year. So I think Shonda writes the finale first, and then writes the backwards.
Goes backward. I didn't know that.
Which is really cool. Yeah. She's a freak of nature.
I know. Shonda, I like her.
So I'm hoping that the finale will be something else. And we're also gonna have some more Grey's stars back in the studios to talk towards the end of the season as well. Have Jerrica Hinton back as well as Sarah Drew. So it's gonna be
awesome.
Good. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, there you guys have it. Let's move on to predictions.
Sounds good.
And now your AfterBuzz TV prediction
star. I want you to give me your most far-fetched prediction, because we've had some pretty far-fetched ones that have actually come to fruition on the show.
That's true.
So what do you think is going down?
Well, next week there's going to be some things that are happening, and it's going to be coming from real-life events. That's what they were like, dun-dun-dun. So I definitely think that there's going to be something kind of crazy that's going to happen next week that's going to reel us back in. And I think there's going to be bad sex with Kepner and her boyfriend, and she's going to have sex with him, and then she's going to want to go back to Avery because he's not going to know what he's doing in bed, and that's going to be the bad sex, right? And then there is going to be something bad that's going to happen to the baby. I already predicted that as well. And, I think next week's going to be a better episode. Is what I'm going to predict.
Awesome. Good stuff.
Bam.
Kel.
I agree. I think about the same. There's going to be something crazy with the mom and the kid coming in. They're going to run tests, not going to believe there's anything wrong with them. She's going to have to fight. I think I vaguely remember a story like that being in the news. And maybe, you know, what, the new machine is not going to work right. All these millions of dollars or something crazy. But I really don't want anything to be wrong with the baby, but there probably will be.
Oh, yeah. It's from real life events. There has to be something wrong, or the story wouldn't be that great to be inside the show.
Yeah, so I don't want to see little kids hurt, but we'll see.
I don't think anything's gonna be wrong with the baby. I think they're gonna let that one ride. I think they're gonna mm-hmm. let the baby be the happy. Meredith gets her happy with the baby. It's gonna be cute. It's gonna be wonderful.
Yeah,
because she's had a miscarriage.
I know. I don't want there to be anything wrong, but yeah. We'll see.
I do think we're not done with the whole Avery Foundation buying the hospital and what's going on. I think there's something brewing underneath there with Catherine. You know, maybe they might fire someone, get rid of somebody. Something's gonna happen. It's like a nice. It's too nice. It's too. Everything's going too well. I mean, God mm-hmm. forbid that people be happy in Seattle Grace Mercy West Grace Sloan Memorial Hospital.
Yeah, Catherine's gonna come back with a tighter suit, and she's gonna be a little bit more crazy.
Right, and they're gonna bring in all new people. It's just gonna power tripping is gonna happen. That's the only thing I can think about. Nothing on the relationship front. I think it's more of like a play for power, because tonight we saw Yang pulling rank. Like, I am your boss. You mm-hmm. will not get any money. You will never get another whiff of this. You know. So I really feel that's where it's gonna go. But I don't think anything super drastic. It's going to happen until we get towards the end.
No, you don't think next week's going to be the one that's going to be like, we're getting close to the final?
Because week over week, the preview is like, and we're like,
they're like, nothing's gonna happen.
Well, hopefully it'll be a little more.
Kelly, you're so positive.
I don't know.
Yeah. We gotta have one of those.
Well, well, since Julie's not here, I have to be the positive one.
Yeah, you
one.
Like took her role. I love it. That's I know. Funny.
Julie. And Julie will be back next week. We miss you, Julie. She's actually doing some other hosting work tonight. Bam. Well, After Buzzers, there you go. Another wonderful Grey's Anatomy after show here on AfterBuzz TV. Until next time, yay! I am Jason J. Carter. You can find me on Twitter at JJC Forever, also on the Triple Dub Show fan page, and here on AfterBuzz.com.
And you can find me at Kelly with an IE 079.
Yeah, and I'm Star Session, Star Double R. You can find me on Twitter at Star Session, and don't forget to follow our fan page, Triple Dub Show. Do it right now.
Until next week, you guys. Bye.
Peace out.
Bye.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Bye later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.